请弟兄姐妹打开创世纪之后的那本书。
Happy New Year, everyone. We ask that you open your Bibles to the book of Exodus.
我们会读十一节的经文，我们用起印的方式。如果你是读英文的话呢，你就跟我们一块走过，台上会读单数节，台下回印双数节。
If you're reading English, just please follow along.
创世纪一章一节，以色列的众子各带家眷和雅各一同来到埃及，他们的名字记在下面，请。It's okay. You read all the more. 对以色列家不想分开 ，wonderful. 好，第五节，凡从雅各而生的共有七十人，约瑟已经在埃及。以色列人生养众多，并繁茂，极其强盛，满了那地。对他的百姓说：“看哪、啊。”这以色列人比我们还多，又比我们强盛。于是埃及人派督工的辖制他们，加重担苦害他们。他们为法老建造两座提货城，就是以东和兰塞。埃及人严严的使以色列人做工，有希伯来的两个收生婆，一名史柯拉，一名普阿。埃及王对他们说：“但是收生婆敬畏神，不照埃及王的吩咐行，竟存留男孩的性命。”守神婆对法老说：“因为希伯来人与埃及妇人不同，希伯来妇人与埃及妇人不同，希伯来妇人本是健壮的，守神婆还没有到，他们已经生产了。”守神婆因敬畏神，神便叫他们成立家室。我们一同来祷告。好，天父，我们来谢谢你。
Heavenly Father, we thank you.
你在新年的时候给这段经文给我们。
You have given these verses to us this
year. 让我们不但明白在当时的含义。
So we understand the meaning for that time.
也明白在新的时代里头怎么样来应用。
And also how to use it in our lives for the present.
祷告奉主耶稣基督的名。
We pray in Jesus' name.
先声明一下哈，上个周报的。上个星期周报没错，对不对？
So,
今天讲到的应该是这个大陆传道人王祥恒医生。
We were hoping to have a guest speaker come in and share with us for the new year.
但是我不是王祥恒医生。
But of course, I'm not that guest speaker.
大家已经讲到了，因为这个东岸的大雪呢，本来参加董事会的，就是参加这个李红军长老开始的这个神学院董事会的董事王一乐一家就没有办法来到我们中间，也就是他的爸爸呢就没有办法来证道。
And they were unfortunately held up because of the snow that they had planned to come and attend a series of events this season.
这对我来说是个什么事呢？其实我新年过不好了，因为李红军要开会，我跟他一天跟着他走。 原来以为是有人会讲道。
So I was hoping to have a nice vacation.
那想想说，上帝借着大雪的困境，带给我们没有雪地的人有什么样的引导
？And so, you know, we're very fortunate to live in a place that's not affected by all the snow, but we can see how God still leads us in these kinds of circumstances.
当我们来思想这些事情的时候，每个人都像去年一样，有很多不同的事，有正面上帝对我们的引导，也有负面对我们的阻拦。
So if we look back at the last year, we see God has led us in many ways, whether it is through positive guidance or through negative blocking.
我们应该有什么样的回忆来回应神在我们中间的作为呢
？So how do we respond to God's work among us?
当我们看这篇经文的时候，我就想起来说，神给我们今年的这个话语，就是说整个出埃及记是我们今年的一个主轴。
And if, as I was meditating on God's word, I thought that the words here in Exodus really apply to what part of Israel.
实在是一个很奇妙的预备。
And it's a very marvelous preparation.
因为这个主轴除了其他的经文之外，我们用出埃及的时候，这个主轴在讲两件很重要的事，可以说三件很重要的事。
Because in this passage we see three very important things.
第一，我们看见说上帝要透过他的仆人摩西兴起他来带领以色列人离开受苦的地方，救赎他们。
First, God will raise up his servant Moses to lead the people out of a land of suffering.
这帮助我们今天来了解我们上帝对我们的爱是多么的长阔高深。这个救赎对我们来说，在耶稣基督里，这个最后的救赎是什么样的含义
？And so we can see the great love of God for His people, and we also see a symbol of Christ's final redemption.
我们还看见另外两件事，就是神赐下律法，建立以色列人的敬拜制度。
And we also see God placing His law among the people, setting up a system of worship.
这样让我们一同来经历、认识那个陈旧的律法和属天的敬拜应该是什么样的。
So that we know, we can recognize that Jesus as the fulfiller of the law.What sort of worship he is leading us into?
那今天是这样的一个这一幕打开的一个预备期。
So today, we're reading the background, the setup phase.
这个是我们都知道，在出埃及第一章的时候是连接创世纪的后面的故事。
Exodus begins by picking up where we left off last in Genesis.
当创世纪结束的时候，我们知道这个后面的这个。太古历史结束，不是在这个约瑟的故事并没有完结，他被卖到埃及，然后呢，这些人最后全家也到了埃及。
And so we read how Joseph was sold into Egypt, but through this, all of Israel was saved, and they too went to Egypt.
那这70人将来的命运怎么样
？So these 70 sons and daughters of Israel, what happened to them in the future?
上帝是不是有信实？
We can see through these passages how God was faithful.
会成就他对亚伯拉罕立约的应许吗
？And we see how He fulfilled the promises He gave to Abraham.
尤其很重要的一件事情开始出现，就是在上帝的祝福下，在这个当时的这个 set up 一开始这个开始场景的时候，有一件事情就是以色列民生养众多，这个在创世纪第一章第九章的一个主题，不断的在这里开始出现。
And so one of the recurring themes we see is that the Israelites grew fruitful and multiplied, and this is something that we see over and over again.
就我们称为是文化使命，人类生养的这个使命，在这里头开始再度出现。
And so we see the cultural
mandate
for all human beings is to be fruitful and multiply.
那同时我们看到另一件事情，在创世纪第三章，当人类失败堕落之后。有一件事情发生，就说有一只败坏的蛇的后裔要来欺压谁？女人的后裔。这不光在创世纪中出现，到了出埃及记再次的展现一个不同的场景。今天仍旧是这样。所以当出埃及记的第一章和第二章，摩西这位作者领受圣灵的启示， 就把创世纪前面的这个主题再度的出现出来，这就是上帝祝福世界，祝福以色列人他的选民，但是这个败坏的世界仍然要逼迫上帝的子民。如果留意的话，你看这有三次的逼迫。
So there are actually three major persecutions.
但是神都很有意思的一一的破除了。
And so God, and we can see the hand of God in all of these that He brought.
我们今天只看前面两个的第一章里。
And so today we're only going to focus on the first two aspects.
就在上帝的祝福下，以色列人虽然受逼迫，不断的升级。
And that even though the Israelites were persecuted more and more.
但是继续生养众多的事情也是越来越升级。我们继续来看蛇的后裔和女人的后裔交战怎么样来表达。其实这也是神人摩西出生的背景。我们可以来思想在耶稣基督里这个圣战的情况会怎么样。对今天的教会，对我们基督徒人生应该怎么样预备？好，我们先来看第一个逼迫，就是苦力的逼迫。
So the first persecution was the persecution of labor.
竟然也无办法阻止上帝子民继续生养众多。
And even this persecution was not able to stop the people of Israel.
这第一节到第十四节就表明了这些事情。
So the first 14 verses tells us this story.
你如果读这故事的时候，发现这个先是神生养众多的事情，然后使得法老感到被威胁，之后呢，他就开始逼迫，最后以色列人在逼迫中继续的生养众多，是不是？
And so because of the population explosion among the Israelites, the Pharaoh of Egypt felt threatened, so he tried to use all sorts of ways to persecute the people of Israel.
你看一到七节里头特别讲了这七十个人雅各全部的后代，包括已经在那里的埃及地的谁约瑟，他们第一代都死以后呢，以色列人仍然是生养众多，繁茂极其强盛，满了那地。
And so in the beginning it tells us that the sons of Israel was a clan of about 70 people and after that generation had passed away
The people of Israel had exploded to a point where they filled the land. 在这个创世纪的背景里头，大家都知道，说在创世纪第38章之后的记载了以色列全家为什么到埃及，还记得吗？因为饥荒。所以埃及起初是一个避难地，成了当时的粮仓。
And so we know from the book of Genesis that the reason why the people of Israel have gone to Egypt in the first place.Was because there was a famine, and Egypt, being the breadbasket of the world, was a place of refuge.
然后上帝借着这些哥哥们犯罪卖他的弟弟约瑟，最后竟然成了拯救他们的手。
That God used the sin of the older brothers, that they had sold their own brother Joseph into slavery, and yet through such a terrible thing.
所以当这个故事要展开的时候，原本七十个人的这个以色列的家族，这样形容说已经是满了那地。
And so again, it emphasizes how a clan of 70 people had become a great population.
歌山地或者 Goshen 或者说这个兰塞这个地方，你知道多大吗？
You know how big that area was?
大概是50公里乘50公里的一个河谷。如果你知道到后来出埃及记的，就是以色列人出去的时候是上百万的人，还不属妇女儿童，光说男人就有百万人。所以人口的密度你可以想象，可能快接近北京上海。今天这个世界上人口是多少呢？ 我看了一下这个，有一个叫 Population Clock， 我就在昨天晚上准备到一点钟的时候看了一下，说一月一号全人类是多少数。
And so as of New Year Day, how many people are living on the Earth right now?
当然说68.9亿就是。68亿。
About 6.9 trillion.
美国多少呢？对，对啊，对啊，美国是多少呢？3亿，对，我3.1亿。
And so in the United States, it's 310 million.
中国应该是13亿了哈，正在超过了。没有数字，所以你看不到。所以当你来看人口的这个暴增的时候，是在上帝起初的一个计划。
But this, the population growth is an extension of God's very first mandate in the book of Genesis.
但对于人类堕落之后呢，自然的生养已经不足以达成上帝原本的心意。
But because of the fall of man, the natural population growth.
因为他们不再是公义良善的形象，按他的心意治理上帝的创造界。也就是说，神有另一件事情，就是要救赎性的生养。根据10年前的统计，基本基督教的增长数是全世界仍然是最大的。我们的增长率大概是 1.4 到 1.5， 就是我讲的，就是说一家生两个孩子，我们就生一个半，就这意思哈，这叫增长率。
So, you know, if the average, so the average quote unquote birth rate of Christians is about 1.5.
那这个2000年的时候，基督徒就是说所有的算透过父母亲影响或者。原来不认识主的像我们这样的变得加进来，再加上原来的基督徒，我们是18亿，占整个世界人口的31%。
So as of 2000, people who are identified as Christians is about 1.8 billion or about 30% of the world.
到2025年的时候呢，有24亿，占32%。
So in 2025, which is about 15 years from now, they'll be2.4 billion or 30%.
再过40年，也就2050年的时候，有30亿，33%的人口会是基督徒或受基督徒影响。
And 40 years from now, it's estimated that there will be 3 billion Christians or 33% of the total world population.
但你来看穆斯林的增长，它的增长率要高，2.1%，能生呢。
And so if you look at the Islamic population in 2000. Well, their birth rate is about 2.1.
所以2000年的时候，他们是12亿，占20%。
In 2000, there were 1.2 billion, taking up 20%.
到2025年的时候是18亿，占23%，18亿。40年之后将是22亿，占25%。印度教、佛教呢，合在一起大概占世界人口20%。当我给你这幅画面的时候，你看见是什么样？
So if you look at this big picture, what image comes to your mind?
近前的子民，还没有近前的人，这个数字非常的可观。
The ratio of believers to non-believers is a very subjective thing.
按照宗教来统计的时候，基督教仍然是最大的信仰群体。
The Christians still take up the greatest ratio.
虽然不在美美，不在欧洲，在其他的大陆，如火如荼。我们应该不应该给上帝掌声呢？那你看法老第八到第十，法老的这个计谋。
So let's look at how the Pharaoh reacted to the people of Israel.
当这个不认识约瑟的王兴起的时候治理，他就说以色列这么强盛，当然他是夸大，对吧？说比我们还多，实际没有达到那个数字。
And so a new Pharaoh came up, and he did not know Joseph, and he looked at the people of Israel, and he said, "There's too many of them."
他最后有一个圣经很有理说，他用巧计要来把他们处理掉。
So he wants to try to get rid of them using schemes.
万一埃及要跟别的国打仗的话，以色列人叛变怎么办？
Because he was worried about what side the people of Israel would stand on should Egypt go to war.
这里讲的不认识这个约瑟的新法老，可能是根据考古呢，应该是这个叫亚摩西士一世，他是一个新的王朝开始，甚至可能不是原来的埃及人。
And so this this pharaoh that's mentioned in the Bible, the many archaeologists think that it's the pharaoh Abos, who may have not even been an actual Egyptian.
他是一个第一个大规模排外的一个法老。
And well, whoever he was, he obviously was not. He did not like anybody who wasn't an Egyptian.
历史是经常重复的。
And we see that
theme repeating in history. 你看埃及和以色列在当时这种增长的速度，如果你拿现在目前欧洲的这个情况，非常的相似，不过是反的就是了。
We see the opposite happening right now in Europe.
比如说，作为有基督教沉船的这些白人在欧洲，他们的比例是逐渐的下降，而从阿拉伯世界的穆斯林进入欧洲的速度和他们生养的速度是极度的高涨。
And so those who had lived in that Christian culture, their population has fallen. And they see a large influx of not only immigrants, but also new births from the Islamic world.
大多数的欧洲人已经背离了圣经，认为生养众多不是他们的义务。每个人都不愿意生，他们的比例是很低的，0.5%-8%，零点八。
And the Europeans, because they had forsaken the word of God, they feel like having children is a very exhausting, it's too much work.
自我中心的生活就是这样。
And so they're because of their self-centeredness, the first rate has fallen to an abysmal amount.
然后穆斯林是2%-3%的，一家都生2-3个，甚至更多。
And an average Islamic household is having 2 or 3 or even more children.
美国会怎么样呢？美国人口是持平的，2%，就是说增长率是2.0%，每家都是两个。但是白人和亚裔人不怎么生的，西班牙裔黑人生很多。
And so, but the birth rate the current population is being replaced more by people of Hispanic and African Americans.
所以你知道到了2050年的时候，可能佛罗里达绝大多数是西班牙人，或者就是说它是增长最快的，白人已经46%了，当时他们不是 majority 了，亚裔人超过10%。中国人都到这边买房子
了。
然后在这样一个背景下，你看逼迫怎么样开始？因为当一个人口增长的时候，两个完全不同的信仰的时候，都会感到非常大的威胁。不同的意识形态的时候，也是同样。
And so the Pharaoh felt threatened because these were people who were of a different religion, a completely different way of life, a completely different worldview. So he felt very threatened by
them. 所以第十一节说的话，法老就开始派监工来加重担，苦待他们，让他们不断的干活。白天黑夜都干，男人女人都干。
And so he put hard labor onto them, and he forced them to work.
这种加班加点的方法，你觉得让以色列人成为奴隶，会不会阻止他们成长
？And so he was.
通常含义来说。
So according to the way people think that you would think that such making them work this hard would rob their work.
对啊，你想想吧，干了一天回家了就睡觉了，哪有时间跟太太那个什么调情呢，对不对？
Because you know, if you're working 40 hours a week, all you want to do when you come home is to sleep. You don't have any time to do anything else.
但是神很有意思，在这里说 他越让他干活，这些人回家更有力气伸啊。
But the opposite happens here. The more they were oppressed, the more they hurt.
那如果你读原文，它就是很有意思，不是写的那么严肃的，就是这样。
And so it's actually written in a very humorous way.
那新加坡人很有意思，我几年前大概已经十年以前还在 A&M 读书的时候做学生会主席，他们就愿意有同样一个问题，就是说新加坡的华人不愿意生，但是他们原来是70%-80%这样降低，那么印度人的这些比例就增加，所以他们要面临这样的一个超越的问题，他们怎么处理这个问题呢？
And so we see a similar thing happening right now with Singapore, because Singapore is a large Chinese majority nation, and how do they deal with the fact that
Chinese don't
want to have lots of children, and how do they maintain the
我记得那个是90年代初，大家还不是想要回国的时候，中国还在发展的，就是说初期的第二波，所以那些人就到中国来，到北美来招精英，那时候在 A&M 他们来招人。
And so what they did was they started recruiting very aggressively.
然后后来我就听说，新加坡他们经常到大陆去招各种各样人才，全都是 teenager 那些很聪明的，给他们奖学金，然后到新加坡来，
so、
不用申，直接拽过来。
So instead of trying to replace the population through birth rate, they try to replace the population through immigration. They would offer scholarships and job offers for people to immigrate to Singapore.
当时中国的情况改变，现在都在竞争人才的时候，新加坡不一定能捞到人，但是中国呢也不想升了，离开政策仍然继续。按照这个趋势下去，2050年的时候，很多人口学家认为说，整个世界的人口开始递减。
So because of such circumstances, many people think that the world population will be falling.
我知道我们这里有很多的英雄母亲，生三个、生四个了。
And we know some very brave mothers who have had multiple children.
有些人还想生，但是现在没有生出来，但是这是上帝的旨意，你可以继续生养。
And so
因为接下来讲12-14节说，以色列在这个逼迫中，虽然我们上班很忙，工作很辛苦，老板让你加班加点，但是继续生吧。你看看这里，越是苦待他们就越发多，越发蔓延，就像这个拦不住的埃及人就因此发愁了，这河谷满了，这不到我们这边来了吗？
And so again in verse 12, the more they were oppressed, the more they grew to the point that all of Egypt was worried about these people.
所以埃及人是越加的加时间让他们做工，然后各种各样的事情都做了，你看从泥巴裹泥田间的工作，把这一切事情都是超时间的，跟中国的上海北京这个加班加点一样。
So, you know, and you see what kind of work that they were being forced to do. You know, this wasn't just the same.
你初看的时候，这跟福音没什么关系的。
So maybe this is okay, that's interesting. What does it have to do with us today?
你看，上帝透过福音的大能要做一件什么样的事情
？So, what we see, how we when we see God work in today in the gospel.
美国的情形是不是一个正常的情形？大多数基督教在成长的过程中呢？都是受逼迫的。
That we actually see that the religious freedom we have in the United States is the exception, not the rule.
你但是圣经也告诉我们说，你越是逼迫什么的，福音越是长。
And that everywhere else in the world, the Christians have been persecuted, but the more Christians are persecuted, the more Christians there seem to be.
我们昨天在开会的时候就看了一个那个洛桑的影片，叫 Turning Point.
So yesterday when we were sharing, we saw some of this in action.
整个那个电影里头就是半个小时把教会2000年历史走过。
And we saw this video that was very quickly going over the history of the church.
可以用一句话来总结，就是说人们包括基督徒都认为这是 end of the world， 但是呢神突然就死灰复燃了。
That looking at the way Christians were persecuted, everybody thought that the Christianity was going to die in the cradle. But rising from its ashes, Christianity.
像刚刚我们唱那首诗歌一样，杰瑞带的那首诗歌。
Just like the song that we sung in worship.
你看初代教会例子就是这样。
And we can see this in the history of the early church.
内部犹太人逼迫他们，然后罗马人也压制他们，到最后变成是屠杀。
And so, you know, it started with just a little bit of resistance from the Jewish people, and then eventually even the government got into the business of not just chasing them out or locking them up.
内部有很多的这个异端纷争出现。
And internally there were many heresies and doctrinal disagreements.
但是神呢，就是做什么事呢？
But what was God doing?
在那个初代教会的三百年时间里面。
In the 300 years of the church's early history.
教会整个布满了罗马帝国。
There were Christians in every corner of the Roman Empire.
一下从百分之不到一的变成20%。
So in 300 years, the Christians exploded into 20%.
教会在那个时候因为跟异端的结果，也找出圣灵的恩待我们的正典圣经是什么。
And because of the heresy, that those who held on to the true faith, they were able to find what genuine doctrine was.
圣经就是说，神也兴起了大批的护教士。
And God called many defenders of the faith to come forth.
这个皮里甲当时被火烧死了。
And the apostle Polycarp who was burned at the stake.
然后伊格拿修是被扔在狮子笼里头。
And Ignatius was fed to the lions.
这个 Justin Martyr 就是尤斯丁在罗马斩首的。
And Justin Martyr who was.
你还可以再继续列。在公元2003年的时候，迫害到一个地步，当时的皇帝叫这个戴克里先，他发誓要把基督教完全铲除，很像法老的情况。这是最恐怖的一次。但是当他过世以后，新的皇帝在病床上也要死的时候，这新的皇帝。叫这个加利流，他也又做了一个决定。
And so after Diocletian passed and the new emperor took his place, the new emperor on his deathbed made a decision.
他这决定就是说开始停止屠杀基督徒。
He decided to put an end to this person.
没有人那时候会想到下一个罗马的皇帝成为基督徒。
And nobody could ever imagine that the emperor who came after him.
大家都知道这是康斯坦丁的故事，在他征战的时候，他的母亲是基督徒，为他祷告很多年。虽然天上有一个异象，说十字架耶稣基督的象征出现，用希腊文出现，他说你靠着这个记号来征战，你必得胜。
So one day Constantine went out to battle and he saw a vision of the cross. And a voice said to him, "Fight with this as your symbol, and you will win."
结果第二天他真赢了。
And the next day he did overcome.
之后我们都知道成为历史。
And the rest is history.
我们知道这不是康斯坦丁，是上帝把仇敌能够转为爱被爱的人，成为家人。
And we know that this was not just a political move on Constantine's part, but that it was God working in the heart of his enemy to make.
福音里面有一种生命力，有一种繁衍力，就是仇敌也没有办法消灭。
The gospel has a light, an abundance of light that cannot be eliminated, not even by its located enemy.
你可以看到，我们刚刚看到这一幕是生活的重担、工作的重担，想要压垮福音人们信主的这个数量。我刚刚讲生养不光是肉体的生养，还有一个属灵的生养。这件事情失败了，法老失败了，魔鬼失败了。接下来他在新第二季。
So first, they tried to kill they tried to,
the burden of the light, by burden of light, through the burden of light.
They tried to control the population through the burden of light, through the busyness, but that failed. So the next step.
你看15到21节。
So if you look at the next six verses, starting from verse 15.
法老是要命令接生婆来谋杀。但是接生婆拒绝，到最后呢，不光是接生婆 这接生的孩子活着，接生婆自己生也开始结婚生孩子了，非常 ironic。
And so the favor tried to have the midwives kill the children, but in the end, not only did the people of Israel survive, but the midwives themselves also had children.
你看这个第十五节到第十六节，就是说很有意思。这个法老有一个绝招，就是说所有的男孩要杀，女孩留着嫁给埃及人没问题，指望是让他们断子绝孙，对不对
？And so the idea behind killing all the male infants and leaving the female ones was he was hoping to assimilate them culturally.
神很有意思哈，让这个法老找两个奸细希伯来的接生婆做这个总监。
But he put two Hebrew women in charge of the midwives.
所以这个第十节特别讲到这个接生婆在这个救恩历史中扮演一个很重要的角色，这个人在这里面扮演什么样的角色。
And so these two women played a very important role in the history of salvation.
十七节说，但收生婆敬畏神，不照着埃及王的命令吩咐，竟然存留男孩的性命。
But the midwives feared God and they disobeyed the Pharaoh's order and they allowed the male to live.
什么叫敬畏神呢
？So what does it mean to fear God?
当然是按他的旨意生活。
And of course, it's to live according to God's will.
思想、情感、意志都来归向他。
Our thoughts, our will, our emotions all submitting to His will.
当时十诫还没有颁布，对吧
？So even though the Ten Commandments have not been given in actual form yet，
但是阻止谋杀这件事情在创世纪到处都有。
Because we know that it's very clear even in Genesis that you are not to shed blood of an innocent。
啊，第四章该隐和亚伯的故事，到了后来第九章，这个挪亚出方舟的时候，神给他的诫命。
Starting from the story of Cain and Abel and
因为挪亚很有意思，挪亚在上帝吩咐他你们要生养众多在地上昌盛之前说了一件事，你们不能什么杀人，因为流你们你流你血害你命的无论是兽还是人我必要讨伐他的罪，就是像个人弟兄你要这样做也是如此，凡流人血的他的血也必被人所流，因为神造人是照他的形象所造的。
Whoever sheds your blood and harms you, whether it be man or beast, I will take him up for his sin. And because whoever sheds people's blood, his blood will also be taken into account, because man has been created in God's image.
在人类历史上，这种种族的灭绝是很多次的。
And we see that in the history of humans, that there are many instances of a tragedy.
对，有的时候是民族，有的时候是意识形态。
But and sometimes it's actual physical killing, and other times it's discrimination.
你们多少人看过一个电影叫《卢旺达 Hotel》？
So you know, perhaps you've heard of the killing in Rwanda.
我们光看 Hollywood 的电影，这种电影是要看的。卢旺达 Hotel 就是讲在九十年代发生在。非洲的事件。
And so, in the 90s, there was great ethnic warfare in Africa.
整个的就是部落之间清洗。
That the tribes there, they decided that they were going to get.
殖民者就在那看着，包括联合国的维和部队也不能管。
And nobody, and everyone sat on their hands and did nothing.
你如果在看在基督教历史上有丑陋的一面，大家还记得吗？十字军东征。
And even in the history of Christianity, we did some very foolish things like the Crusades.
还记得在希特勒的时代，二战的时候，屠杀犹太人集中营的方式。
And in the World War II, the Holocaust.
斯大林、毛泽东是处理阶级异己分子。
And
古尔伯特。
And the purges of Stalin and Mao.
这是上帝禁止的。这为什么基督徒有的时候变得 stubborn， 说我们不愿意屠杀没有出生的孩子，就坠胎的问题。这个是谋杀。
So that's why today we're fighting the battle against abortion because we believe that that's murder.
我不是讲说母亲情况不顾，就是讲正常情况下。 有时候这个不杀人，不就是这个谋杀的诫命，不谋杀的诫命，不光是写在圣经里，也写在人的良知里头，写在人的心板上。
And we know that this is not something that's from the Bible, that's something in God's system, that it's something that is all of our conscience.
那六四已经过去20年了。
It's,
中国人一般没有办法谈这个事情。
It's been 20 years since.
但是那个时候我们在中国的，我们在座的很多人是那个年纪，我就记得有一个人写一个回忆录。然后让我就是说我当时最印象最敬佩的就是当时的38军的军长，他拒绝打开枪，最后他就上军事法庭了，新的军长上任就开枪了。我对这样的军人说实话是有一种很深很深的敬佩，虽然军人、对不起。
So, you know, in that incident, we saw many stories of great tragedy.He refused to open fire on the protesters. So he was court-martialed as a result. And his replacement came up and followed orders.
这人名字叫徐先勤，他在军事法庭面前的时候，他不认罪。他说，不是历史的功臣，就是历史的罪人。
And so this new commander, he refused to admit his wrongdoing in court. He said,You know, history will judge whether I am a great hero or a great villain.
虽然军人是以执行上峰的命令为天职的。
So even though they were just following the orders.
他们很清楚，但是他们很清楚他们对象应该是谁，在战场上，而不是反过来的。
But they all know in their hearts that they should be shooting at the enemy in the battlefield, not against the civilians, not against their own people.
后来到美国看更多的资料，就发现其中有一个军叫28军。这28军的人呢，当时也从穆斯林进到北京的时候呢，老百姓就告诉说38军开枪了，他们不相信。结果有人，对。
So one of the things that also happened at that time was the 28th Division, they were called in to try to contain the situation, and they were told that the 38th had fired on a civilian, and none of them would, and they all refused to believe it.
最后这个写这个 blog 的人就说，他当时就跑到复兴院的医院，拿出那些受伤的人或者被打死的人的血衣带出来给28军的人看。
And so some of the people went to the hospital and they showed these young men the bloody clothing belonging to those who had been shot.
结果看到这件事情以后，当时很多的士兵和军官80多辆车的人都弃车而逃走了，把枪扔了。
And so the soldiers, when they saw this, they all refused to continue on. They all left their vehicles. They threw away their.
部队那时候都失控了，其中有一个直升飞机在说要他们开枪，结果有一个开坦克的士兵就把枪掉，才打了直升飞机，把直升飞机赶走。
And there was a man flying a helicopter, trying to control the crowd using a megaphone. So and one of the soldiers fired on the helicopter.
不光是那时的一个军长，那些士兵啊，所以到最后这个28军的人是很惨的，团级以上的干部全都被捕，全军都是进入军队这个监狱，师级军级干部都是戴手铐还有镣铐，就是脚铐。
Because they refused to obey such a terrible order, they were all the upper level officers were arrested.And all of the soldiers were court-martialed and sent to discipline.
我在说这些的时候，不过是陈述事实而已，没有任何其他的意思。就是当人类为了自己的权利，为了感到被威胁，来对其他的做出这种灭绝性的时候呢，我们的良知应该告诉我们怎么做。不能中国人总说没办法，没办法。中国历史上有这样伟大的人，可以说有办法。我可以弃绝，我可以逃了。
That even in such a situation, when you're standing in between authority and truth, that you can listen to your own conscience and say, "No, I refuse to bow to authority. I don't care what happens to me. I will not do this thing that's so wrong."
有一个更高的权柄在说，人是按我的形象造的。
Because there is a higher authority that says man is made in the image of God.
当法老对以色列婴儿屠杀的时候，有一个更深更深的原因。
And so, Pharaoh's actions here is not just an ethnic cleansing.
这就是创世纪第三章十五节说，神对堕落的人说了一件事，咒诅这个魔鬼的时候这样说，我又要叫你和女人彼此为仇，你的后裔和女人的后裔要彼此为仇，女人的后裔要伤你的头，你要伤她的脚跟。
That God had cursed the serpent in Genesis, and he said, I will put enmity between you and the woman. Your children will also be the eternal enemies with the children of the woman.
换句话，神要保留将来的一个语种，就是弥赛亚出来，一定要什么？打败毒蛇的头，所以他不可能让法老或者任何时代的人把以色列人除掉。
And we know that one day that the ultimate descendant of the woman who is Christ the Messiah will deal a fatal blow to the snake.
我们刚刚
so we know that the snake will always be trying to destroy the line of Israel, but God will always preserve it.
刚刚过去的圣诞节都记得吗？如果你还记得有三个博士去朝见耶稣新生王的时候，见到当时以色列的王，这个王怎么说？我也要去朝见，但是他背后要什么？要把所有全犹太地的两岁以下男孩全除掉，毒蛇的后裔，为了自己的权柄。
So we know that in the story of Christmas, we also saw how Herod.Once he heard that there was a new king in Israel, he felt very threatened. So for the sake of his authority, his power, he told him he gave the order to kill all the boys who were under 2 years old.
再过来的这个一月六号是什么日子
？Epiphany
是显现日，就是说这三个博士来朝见耶稣，这个是在基督教历史上非常重要的，有的时候甚至比这个。降生还重要，因为他要彰显他要来救赎不光以色列人，要救赎这些外邦人。我们都是应该纪念这个星期四。
So this coming Thursday, January 6th, is Epiphany. And in fact, Epiphany is a more important holiday almost than Christmas itself, because that is the day that is showing that Jesus is not just the King of the Jews, but he is the Savior of all people.
虽然迫害在全球仍然有。
So even though globally Christians everywhere are being persecuted,
但是神的应许不变。
God's promise is
that. 他要保护他的子民。
He will protect his people.
还记得在启示录第十二章，神用一个预言的方式说，一个妇男孩出来之后呢，又整个产生教会妇人，最后呢被因保护到地方，就在讲教会被神所保守。
We see the event of the birth of the church being shown symbolically in the Revelation, where it says that you know after giving birth to the Messiah, the woman was taken and hidden in the desert for her protection.
有意思的是，接下来这个法老审这个两个接生婆的故事。
And so in the middle of all of these intrigues and this murder and genocide, we see this a little bit of almost.Satirical humor.
法老招了收生婆，说你们为什么做的事存这个男孩性命呢？收生婆怎么说呢？因为希伯来人跟埃及人不一样，然后希伯来人生来就健壮活泼，而就是活的。换句话说，你们埃及人那个妇女是死的哈。然后收生婆还没到，他们已经孩子就落地了，我也没办法。
And so the Pharaoh calls the women. He says, "Why do you disobey my order? Why do you let these children live?" And so they answered, well, the Hebrew women, they are vigorous. And the children are born even before the midwife could get there. We couldn't do anything about it.
这最有意思这件事情，这个对话里头，人们有的时候忘了这个的主旨，就开始讨论人能不能够撒谎的问题。
So a lot of times when we talk about this passage, we kind of miss the point and we ask, well, is it okay for Christians to lie then?
有人认为上帝祝福他们是因为他们撒谎。就是接生婆哈。
So some people think, well, obviously because God blessed them, so they must have blessed them because they lied.
那还有就是生命的伦理，因为生命更重要，所以编造理由在这是可以的。
So that, but other people say no. The point is not that they lie, but that they lie to protect. They lie for a higher ethical reason, so that it's acceptable to lie if you know, to protect something.
The higher order.
Higher order.
就是这就是像在希特勒的时候，有些人保护犹太人，在欧洲，在中国的上海发生这样的事。
And you know, we saw the same thing happening in World War II.
哎，那么当然还有人说撒谎是罪，这是应该的，这是错的。但是上帝祝福是因为他们敬畏神。
And so other people say, well, of course it's wrong to lie, but the blessing came because they feared God.
那我认为更可能的解释关于撒谎对不对，你可以去看十诫。这个地方我觉得最重要的话可能是这里讽刺的手法。
Of course we know that, you know, you are not to make false witness. It's very clear in the Ten Commandments. The point of this passage is a little bit different.
这个希伯来夫人见状，无论他们，因为你让他干活嘛，你知道这个里头，你想你要这样想，你要想摩西告诉当时的以色列人，讲他们的背景，你们现在在旷野里面，你知道你们今天到这儿来，你们原来为什么这么健壮，能够行走这么走这么长的路，你们生孩子都不用休产假，知道什么原因吗？上帝虽然以色列人让你们干那个苦活，但每个人都身强力壮，生的时候很容易，对吧？你可以知道今天人生孩子多不容易。这娇生惯养，对吧？你要是很健壮的身体，干体力活的，那就我们就说一个接一个生哈，十二个没事儿一样。对，是有这样的，就是在看上去好像没有关系，但是神在这里头虽然借着这个法老的迫害，可是神有一个保守。
And so we see that God's hand at work throughout all this. That, you know, why were the women of Israel more vigorous than the women of Egypt because they had been forced into hard labor. Their bodies had grown stronger precisely because the Pharaoh had told them to work, to labor. And because of this, that they had what it took to have many children. And so we see the same thing happening in our day that the better we live, you know, the better our quality of life, the more difficult it becomes to raise the next generation because we're all so used to having it so good.
对，最可笑的是法老这时候接受这个夸大的说法哈，他说来了就生了，用不着我们，然后法老就没办法，算了。
And what's even more amazing was that the Pharaoh was able to buy this explanation that he thought, okay, well, that kind of makes sense.
对，接下来你看这个我们刚刚提到二十和二十节。神后代收生婆，这些人原来是被人看不起的，不能够接生的，接生的话一般是没有人来娶他们的，但结果呢，神在那时候 honor 这些尊重生命的人，竟然让他们结婚，那建立家室的意思就是什么，继续生嘛，对吧？
And so God blessed these women because in that day being a midwife was not a profession that people looked upon well, so but God was able to bless them that they would be able to have their own families, and they would be able to get married and have their own children.
所以到此为止，法老的两次迫害都失败了。
And so these two attempts at persecuting the people of Israel,
无论是苦力还是谋杀，
whether it is by labor or by attempting to kill them.
所以我们也看到，连这个接生婆都加入生养众多的行列。
And that those who were willing to obey God's will were also all blessed.
神这种改变是很有意思的，你知道我们中间很多人原来是不对基督教是不屑一顾的。
So we can see in our own lives God's marvelous work.
见到基督徒就掐架。
Because we a lot of us started out as, you know, we didn't want anything to do with Christianity.
那结果呢，成为教会的领袖，成为长老，成为牧师。
But God called us so that many of us are elders and leaders and preachers in the church.
还记得保罗的例子吗？
Do you remember Paul?
他是在抓基督徒的路上，神向他显现。
He was on his way to a restriction when God revealed himself.
他说：“你为什么迫害我？”
And he says, "Why do you persecute?"
他说：“你的脚来踢这个什么？是踢不过的，就踢牛犊那个皮是踢不动的。”
That you know, trying to kick this rock, this giant stone.
Yeah, 所以我们看到教会并不是要自找苦吃，但是教会在患难中仍然有喜乐。
It's not that we're masochists that we enjoy suffering. No, it's that we have joy to fight.
那些圣诞节不同的小组献诗的时候，方舟唱了一首诗歌，因为在我里面的比外面的更大，在我里面有，还记得吗 ？OK， 记得哈，那歌很有意思。就是保罗，就是把保罗想要说的全说出来了，在我里面有一个比外面还大。
Because the, what we have inside of us is greater than anything in the whole world.
在从 RTS 毕业的时候，我们那一届的选的经文就是《哥林多后书》第四章七节。
Because so at the end of the year we were getting together Bible verses, we were very well read, and when we picked.
对，就是2004年的时候我们选的。
In 2004。
在我们的神学生中间我们选的是什么，我们有这宝贝在瓦器里，要显明莫大的能力是出于神，不是出于我们。第八节接着说，我们四面受敌却不被困住，心里作难也不知失望，遭逼迫却不被丢弃，打倒了却不知死亡，身上常带着基督的死，使耶稣的身也显明在我们身上。第七到十节 OK， 因为我们这活着的人是常常为耶稣被交于死地，使耶稣的身在我们这必死的身上显明出来。
Second Corinthians chapter 4 verse 7 through 11. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all surpassing power is from God, not from us. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed; perplexed, but not in despair; persecuted, but not abandoned; struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death to Jesus Christ, so that His life may be revealed in our mortal body.
在试炼中，真的基督徒和假的基督徒就被分别出来。
Because it is through these tests that true Christians.
旧约历史、新约历史表明是这样。
And the history of the Old and New Testament shows it.
教会的历史也表明是这样。
And the history of the church.
今天的情形仍旧是一样。
And
在新年来临的时候，我就听到一则新闻，在埃及有 10% 的基督徒，但是呢，教会经常是被放炸弹。
就
当时有基督徒上街说要去杀这个穆斯林，我当时就在祷告。
So some of the Christians they wanted to go and fight.
因为这个已经是不止一次两次了，太多时间。
Because over and over again they were being murdered over, and they wanted to stand up. But I prayed for them.
愿神在我们中间得他应得的荣耀。
May God be glorified.
奴役逼迫失败。
The persecution of labor failed.
以色列和教会仍然信仰众多。
The people of God continue to grow.
谋杀失败。
The murder attempt failed.
仇敌想要消灭神的子民。
The enemy wanted to eliminate the people of God.
但上帝以仁爱怜悯，把原来他的仇敌掳掠回来，归顺他，成为他的精兵。
But God,
这就是教会。
But God called his people out of his enemy.He transformed them into his Christ squad, and that is our church.
以色列的大能者
，the great one of Israel，
再次以身养众多来回答逼迫。
God answers persecution through growth.
我不知道神为什么要用这篇讲道来预备我们进入2011年。
I don't know why God inspired me to pick this verse out of all the verses in the Bible to bring us into this new year.
但我想问的是，你仍然相信2011年上帝仍然是时间空间的主，仍然是可见不可实践不可见世界的主宰吗？
Do you still believe that God is the God of time and space, that He reigns supreme over all things?
你能相信他仍然掌管2011年和21世纪的第二个十年吗？
Do you trust Him to guide you through this year and
我们也可能会 love， 但是我在想这件事情的时候，我想我可能在中国要待三个月，会给那里教会带来什么麻烦。I'm really thinking.
So, you know, I'm going to go to China for 3 months and to try to help those churches, and I'm worried about what kind of trouble I'm going to bring up because of my presence.
我们相信上帝是信实的吗？
But do we believe that God is faithful?
我们相信上帝是慈爱的吗？
Do we believe that God loves us?
他对他的子民会像在出埃及记前夜所预备的每一次的逼迫中，上帝又再次兴起他的子民，生养众多，布满着地。
Do we believe that God will be with his people, that through those persecutions, he will bring his people out to be even greater in filling the earth?
今天上帝的后裔，女人的后裔，已经胜过蛇的后裔。
We know that the son of Eve has once and for all destroyed the snake.
就是基督，我们今天可以仗着十字架向罪恶和迫害来夸胜。你愿意来继续信靠他吗？你愿意来爱慕他，遵行他的话吗？无论是过去怎么样，今天怎么样，你愿意专心依靠他在基督里大能大力刚强壮胆吗？记得在《申命记》第十一章，我上个星期所写的这个 devotion 里头，他给我们一个应许，说你凡你脚掌所踏之地都归你们。
In Deuteronomy, there's this promise: all the ground you walk on will belong to you.
因为从岁首到年终，耶和华的眼目时常看顾这地，这是耶和华的心求。
For through all time, God's eyes are watching this world.
上帝在逼迫中仍然掌权，要祝福他的子民。我们一同来祷告。天父，我们谢谢你，谢谢你恩待我们。
Father, thank you for your grace.
走过2010年。让我们迎来我们未知的2011年。
And let us face this unknown 2011.
结局是什么？我们不知道。
We don't know what the ending is.
我们不知道具体如何发生。
We don't know how the plot is going to unfold.
但有一件。你再一次不断地向我们说话，在可变的世界里，变迁的世界里，让我们保证你在耶稣基督的应许里头都是实。祷告奉女人的后裔的名，阿门。